Velasquez challenged gender, social, and ethnic boundaries during the Civil War, and the story of her life has been shrouded in mystery and debated for generations. So who was she? Did she really exist? Or is her story one of the greatest hoaxes of her time? This is the story of Loretta Velasquez. This is Southern Mysteries.
It's gonna be all right. These ain't dark or troubled times. It's a day like any other day. You got a dark and troubled mind, all right. You hold that baby tight, and I swear if you can hear me, then everything gonna be just fine, all right. All right.
Welcome to Southern Mysteries. I'm your host, Shannon Ballard. She was known by many names, including Mary Ann Keith, Ann Williams, and Loretta Williams. But by all accounts, her real name was Loretta Ginetta Velasquez. She was born into an aristocratic Cuban family in Havana in 1842. Her father was a Spanish government official who owned plantations in Mexico and Cuba. As a young girl, Loretta developed an admiration and obsession with Joan of Arc. She desired to do great things and make a name for herself as a woman of courage who would fight for a great cause, just like Joan of Arc. And you'll remember, Joan dressed as a man to lead French forces against their enemies. Loretta equated being able to do great things with being a man and dressing as a man. When Loretta was a young girl, about 7 years old, her family sent her to New Orleans for her education. Loretta came to America in 1849. The Mexican War had just ended. Mexicans had been portrayed as barbaric people, and that racism extended to most Latinos. That meant it was hard for Loretta to fit in. She struggled against so many stereotypes, so she decided to pass herself off as a darker-skinned white woman. And it seemed to work fairly well. She could fit in, for a time. But at the core of Loretta's existence, she was a rebel who didn't naturally fit in with what society and her family wanted her to be. Here she was, in New Orleans, trying to fit in with the people she's meeting. And all the while, she's dreaming of not even being here in their world. Money and wealth and doing what was expected of her, getting an education and then marrying and having children. That was the expectation for women at this time. Deep down, Loretta still had her Joan of Arc dream. And she took to dressing up in her male cousin's clothes and dreaming of leaving her house and going on a great adventure. Her family learned what she was doing, and they knew her rebellious nature, so they quickly decided to choose a fellow Cuban for Loretta to marry. Loretta didn't handle being told what to do, so she decided to steal her best friend's boyfriend, who happened to be an American man. She eloped with this man, William, and even though he's her adventure, she still ends up doing what good women did. She was married and had given birth to 2 children by the time she was 18. And she found herself pregnant with her 3rd child. Soon after, her husband, who was serving in the Federal Army, was sent to dangerous Indian territory. So Loretta decided to move to St. Louis to be closer to him, but in a safer area, as she waited for him to finish his service in the territory. Sadly, soon after she arrived in St. Louis, she lost her baby, which is a tragedy in and of itself. But it was only the beginning of a tragedy for Loretta and her children. Soon after, fever came to St. Louis. At the time, something as simple as a fever could kill you. And both of Loretta's young children contracted fever and died. Loretta was overcome with grief and with guilt. She had dreamed of adventure and ending up having children, but she loved her children. And they were all gone within such a short period of time. Loretta was alone and grieving. As she shared in a memoir she wrote later in life, she would often set off for the nursery, only to be reminded that her children weren't there. They were gone. Her husband, William, did come home for a while, but by 1861, his home state of Texas had seceded from the Union. He resigned from the U.S. Army to join the Confederacy. Loretta had nothing and no one in Missouri, and now her husband was going to war. She begged him to let her come with him. He said no, and he left to fight for his home state in the Civil War. Soon after, she learns that there was an accident with William's weapon, and William had died when that weapon went off. At first, Loretta's hope was gone. William was not coming home. But as you know, grief, despair, and loneliness can drive you to some unexpected places and to do some unexpected things. Loretta was measured for a Confederate uniform and decided she was going to join the Confederate Army as Harry T. Buford, a freelance soldier. By July of 1861, Loretta was fighting in Battle of Bull Run at Manassas, and she was fearless. She was bent on showing she was as good as any man on that battlefield. It's pretty unbelievable to think she or any other woman could pull this off, but especially a Hispanic woman in a white man's war, a war that we generally think of as literally being black and white. She wasn't the only Hispanic person to fight in the Civil War, but she was one of the only Hispanic women we know of who pulled that off. The Civil War shook up social norms for everyone, but especially women in the North and in the South. There were many women who fought in the Civil War, who dressed as men to be able to either fight next to their husbands or fight in memory of them, and they had a desire to fight and make a difference. It's estimated that nearly 500 to 1,000 women went into military service for either short periods of time or long-term service. It really just depended on how long they could get away with it. You may wonder how they got away with it. Well, medical inspection was pretty simple at the time. There were three questions. Number one, do you have 2 feet? Number two, do you have 2 arms? And number three, do you have 2 eyes to see how to fight? And a large number of soldiers were young. Uniforms were very baggy. Notions of gender back then meant either you wore pants and you were a man, or you wore a dress and you were a woman. So a person with 2 arms, 2 legs, 2 eyes, wearing pants, and fighting during the war, they were considered to be a man. So Loretta's all in on pulling off the notion that she is a man and a Confederate man. So the next thing she does is sad but true. You can't rewrite history. She bought a slave named Bob. And she used owning a slave as another way to pass herself off as a Confederate soldier. Here she was trying to expand her life and test all of these boundaries because she was free and wanted an adventure. And all the while, she was enslaving a man. He was fighting next to her with no choice. And he knew her secret, and her life depended on him keeping her secret. So Loretta fought in the Battle of Shiloh, and as that battle ends, Bob claimed to get lost, and he escaped. He ends up in federal territory and became a free man. Loretta is once again alone, and she's on burial duty. She's working to bury the dead after the battle, and all of a sudden, she feels a burning feeling and realizes she's been shot. She woke up to the sound of train tracks and realized she was on a train with her fellow soldiers who were getting medical care. She refused medical attention because she had to protect her secret. Her wound wasn't fatal. She decided to try to brave it and get through without having a doctor check on her. And she survived. In the summer of 1863, she was in Richmond, Virginia. At this time, martial law was being enforced in Richmond. Everyone in the city was under more scrutiny than ever before because the Confederacy was so desperate. Detectives were everywhere trying to catch any federal spies trying to work their way into Confederate territory. A man noticed what he called Loretta's feminine way, and he snitched on her. She was arrested and accused of being a federal spy. Loretta was in prison and facing execution for treason. General Winder was overseeing her case and decided to release her in July of 1863, saying that she could offer unique services for the Confederacy as a spy. They saw the value in what she had done. She had tricked them, so why not use her to spy for the Confederacy. So Loretta's new job was to dress as a woman and go out on scouting expeditions. She passed lines of the North and the South, and she was thriving economically because she was transporting Confederate money around, and she got her share. But what the Confederacy didn't see coming was Loretta's exposure to both sides of the war. She had seen all sides. She was disillusioned by how all sides were profiting from slavery and from the war, and she decided she was done with holding up slavery and supporting the Confederacy. So Loretta disappeared from the South and headed north to Baltimore, and she went to work for the Union Secret Service as a double agent. You must be wondering if this is true. Did she really defect from the Confederacy, or was she spying on the North? Well, she wrote in her memoir that her prejudices against the North had vanished after moving North, and she had become loyal to the federal forces. She was haunted by what she had seen on the battlefield. She was guilty over purchasing a slave after she had seen more and more of the impact of slavery and how people had been hurt because of it. So she continued to be loyal to the federal forces and worked as a spy until the war ended in 1865. In 1875, there was a handbill called A Woman in Battle that was printed, in which Loretta Ginetta Velasquez announced herself as a woman who fought in the Civil War, admitting she was a Cuban woman. She was one of only two Latinas to have a memoir published in the 19th century. So this was big news. It was a very big deal because it propelled Loretta to media celebrity status. But it's not always a good place to be. News outlets started questioning her accounts of her life and her experiences. They didn't believe her, and soon people started to believe it had all been a hoax. There was no Harry T. Buford who served in the Civil War. There was no Loretta Ginetta Velasquez. People thought it was all tall tales. And you can't help but wonder, was she real? Had people fallen for one of the greatest hoaxes of the 1870s? One man wanted everyone to believe it was all a hoax. His name was Jubal Early, and he was one of the leaders of what historians call the Lost Cause, along with a man named Edward Pollard. The Lost Cause was a movement that's still alive today, and its whole effort is to rehabilitate the image of the Confederacy. It romanticized the war, and really did, and still does, push the narrative that the war was a just and noble cause for the Confederacy. So there are these two men who were leading this effort to shut down any negative images of Confederate veterans. It was hard enough for these men with the Union being together again and the country trying to move forward and to heal. But here was this woman, of all people, writing a book and telling what Jubal and Ed said were lies. She was talking about her eyes being open to the horrors of slavery. And consider that through the three basic tenets of the Lost Cause movement. Number one, the Confederate fight was heroic. Confederate soldiers were Christian gentlemen who fought with honor and with the highest of integrity. Number two, the belief that slavery was a benevolent institution, that slaves were happy and well treated. And number three, the belief that slavery was not the root cause of the Civil War. Through that lens, you can understand why a Latina woman who dressed as a man and fought for the Confederacy and then dressed as a woman to spy on the Confederacy for the Union would upset Jubal Early's plans. Loretta had had her eyes opened, and she realized she was fighting for the wrong side. In her memoir, she acknowledged the corruption of the war and the horrors of slavery, and that those good Christian Southern gentlemen fighting for slavery were fighting for a lost cause, that they needed to let it go and work on healing the nation. But Loretta was messing with Jubal Early's narrative, and in his opinion, she had to be shut down. So Jubal wrote letters to powerful people he knew to try to control the message. He portrayed Loretta as a whore. He called her a prostitute and a woman of poor standing and said nothing she had written could be true, that no woman had fought in the Civil War, and that she had written a memoir of lies. And people he trusted believed him and worked to assassinate her character. And it worked pretty well. Did you ever hear of Loretta Velasquez in any Civil War history you studied in school? We know that Loretta wrote to Jubal early and asked him to meet her in person to address their differences of opinion. He told her only men can speak the truth of the war. So with that, the word hoax stuck with her book for over a century. Maria Aggie Carter is a documentary filmmaker who was working on a project and had heard of Loretta Velasquez. So she connected with a senior military archivist at the National Military Archives in Washington, D.C. Her name is Deanne Blanton. Deanne has written about the history of the hundreds of women who dressed as men and fought in the Civil War. She's an expert in that area. So Maria Aggie Carter called Deanne Blanton and asked her if Loretta was a real person or if this whole idea of Loretta had been a hoax. The filmmaker is asked to come to the National Military Archives in Washington, D.C. and meet Deanne Blanton in person. And here's what happened.
I went to the National Archives, and there in the halls of our nation's library, the archives that hold military records for the Confederacy and the Union, we found pay stubs for Loretta Velasquez's spying missions. We found her request for a commission. We found letters and newspaper articles indicating that she had actually been arrested for posing as a man and suspected of being a spy. And I realized this was a real person. And what I wanted to know is, why didn't we know about this incredible woman and the other 1,000 women who had fought in the American Civil War?
We can't know if every story Loretta told in her memoirs was true, because if you read her book, which you can't do to this day, she told some wild stories about her life after the Civil War. But we know this. If the National Military Archives says she served as a spy for the Union, you can't deny her Civil War service. She was real. When it comes to Harry T. Buford's Civil War service and Loretta Velasquez, it's one and the same. And just part of a pretty incredible life that Loretta lived. One of Loretta's most notable quotes from her memoir speaks to her drive and desire to be who she wanted to be in life, not who others expected her to be. As Loretta wrote, "What a woman may do, if only she dares, and dares to do greatly." Southern Mysteries is hosted and produced by me, Shannon Ballard. If you want to learn more about Loretta Velasquez, you can watch the documentary called Rebel that was produced by Marie Aggie Carter and released by PBS. And read Loretta's memoir, A Woman in Battle. It's powerful, but some of it is still disputed to this day. So you can read it and judge it for yourself. There's an online version you can read for free, courtesy of a project called Documenting the American South, and that's by University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. You can find the link in the show notes. I'd also encourage you to join the Facebook group for the podcast, where you'll find more content, including photos and more about Loretta. Just search Southern Mysteries to find the group and join in the discussion. And you can follow the Southern Mysteries community on Twitter. I'm at Mysteries Pod. Thanks for listening.